Bokar Tov, we're doing Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We're continuing where we left off. We did chapter 10 last time. What happened in chapter 10? In chapter 10, Shaul was pronounced king over Israel. Now the problem is that Shmuel gathers all of the people to Mitzpah. Mitzpah is like the famous place where they do gatherings in Bnei Israel. He gathers them to Mitzpah and they do a lottery. It's at the end of the chapter, right? They do a lottery to select who will be the king of Israel. Now, we already know Shaul is the king of Israel because he anointed him privately. But he wants to do it publicly now.
And from Hashem.
So it's from Hashem, so people know that they're not allowed to, that there's no disagreeing with this. This is a pronouncement of God. So you do it to Urim V'Tumim, you do it through a lottery. So he does the lottery, and Shaul is chosen. Now, where is Shaul?
Hiding in the luggage.
He is hiding in the luggage, which is, I don't know, is that good or is that bad? Well, in one sense, it could be bad because it's too much humility. In the other sense, you know...
At least he has humility,
and that's going to be the biggest problem for a king. It's knowing his place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not the worst thing in the world, but a little bit questionable. But then they find him, they bring Shaul, and they pronounce him as king. And let's see, what else...
Did you find it? Where is he?
No. Now he says, like, you see who God has chosen. Not where is he, but this is the one that God has chosen. The people start crying and say, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king. And then Shmuel says, what's the rule of kingship? He probably reiterates those things he said about, you know, the dangers of kingship and things like that. He wrote it in a book and he put it in somewhere in the Mishkan. And Shmuel sends the people back to their homes. And Shaul goes to his own home, which is interesting because you would expect him to, you know, arrange for a political regime to be settled somewhere, but he just goes back home.
Yeah.
And some people went with him, the Chayil Asher Naga'a Elohim Bilibam, the soldiers that God touched their heart. But in Pasuk Kafsan, we saw Uvne Vilya'al Ameru, but there's some wayward people who said, who's this guy that's going to save us? So they scorned him. And they did not bring him a tribute. And Shaul just remained silent. Now in chapter 11, it's going to be an analysis of how Shaul then concentrates his power over Bnei Israel. He's going to earn his stripes as king. Okay. So what do you think is going to happen for Shaul to earn? What is it you think Shaul has to do to earn his stripes as king of Bnei Israel?
War.
War, success in war, because that's Bnei Israel's biggest concern. Mm-hmm. Their biggest concern was, Shmuel, you're too old, your kids are not going in your path, you were the ones who saved us from the Pelishtim, but now we need someone who's going to fight our wars for us. Please appoint us a king so we can compete with the Goyim.
Mm-hmm.
So how is Shaul going to earn his stripes? By succeeding in war. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vayal Nachash Ha'amoni Vayichan Al Yavesh Gil'ad. And Nachash the Ammonite, he went and he settled next to Yavesh Gilad. Where is Yavesh Gilad? It's on the eastern half of the Jordan River. It's in the portion of Gilad, which is in the portion of Machir ben Menashe. Okay? So this is a city in the tribe of Menashe that is on the eastern half of the Jordan River. Nachash HaAmoni goes and he settles against them. Now the people of Yavesh Gilad, they immediately give up to Nachash HaAmoni and they say, make for us a covenant and we will serve you because we know that we do not have the military might to overcome you.
Nachash means snake, right? It probably has to do with the whole entire theme of snakes in all of Tanakh, no? His name?
Question. It's not going to be in the Mefarshim, by the way. Maybe in Rashi. No, not in Rashi.
So they bring a footnote here. New oppressor rose up against Israel, one whose name Nachash, literally snake, was an apt reflection of his character. Nachash, king of Ammon, was a cruel and treacherous man. It is clear from Pasuk 2.
So part of the theme that Nachash just means bad, evil.
Yeah.
Okay. Vayomer alehem Nachash Ammoni. So Nachash responds to their, you know, they bring out the white flag. They say, look, we'll be your servants. Please do not kill us. And what does Nachash say? Bezot echrot lachem. This is how I will make for you a covenant. Bin kor lakhem kol ein yamin. If you all gouge out your right eye.
Right.
Kol Israel, and I will make this a shame for all of Israel. Why would it be a shame for all of Israel? Because they cannot defend against Nachash HaAmoni.
Oh,
because
these are Jews in the other side of Jordan.
These are Jews on the other side of Jordan River. So he's saying, no, I want to humiliate you so I can show that I lord over not only you, Yavesh Gilad, because look, at the end of the day, Yavesh Gilad is low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So Nachash HaAmoni wants to prove that, no, I'm stronger than all of Israel. So I'm going to make it a busha for all of Israel. You have to gouge out your right eyes. Now, is he saying that as like an expression, like get lost, like we're going to war, and there's no way we're making a covenant? Or is he actually expecting them to gouge out their right eye? I don't know. And based on the kinds of savage things they used to do in those days, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually wanted them to gouge out
their eyes. Could be both. It could be literal and also...
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Midrash.
Pasuk Gimel, Vayomeru Elav Zignei Yavesh, Heref Lanu Shiv'at Yamim. So the people of Gilad, Yavesh Gilad, they say to Nachash HaAmoni, give us 7 days, v'nishlecha malachim b'chol gevul Yisrael. We will send messengers throughout all of Israel. V'im en Moshiya otanu v'yatsanu elecha. And if nobody is to save us, we will go out and we will give in to you, and we'll cut out our eyes or whatever. We'll be your slaves, or we will come. We'll do whatever you want us to do. Now, why would Nachash HaAmoni let them do this? Let us go for 7 days and ask the rest of the Jewish people for help. And if no, then we will come out. Why would Nachash say yes?
Because if no one comes and helps, then he knows how bad...
Well, because Nachash wants to prove that he's better than all of Israel. So if the Yavesh Gilad people go and they request all of Israel's help and nobody has the guts to come, then Nachash and his ego, he gets to say, I stared down the whole Jewish people and I was able to defeat them all. So, so that's what he's trying to feed. So they feed it into his ego that way. In the meantime, they have a little bit of time. They buy themselves some time. So the people, the messengers come to Givat Sha'ul.
The hill of... Is that where modern day Givat Sha'ul is? The last light rail stop? Is that where he's staying? Meaning, he went to the Giv'ah, right? He went returned to the Giv'ah last chapter. Is that Givat Sha'ul?
No, you're talking about the Bama, not the Giv'ah.
No? Where did he go back to yesterday?
That was after he got the Nevoah. He went to the Bama.
Yeah, but...
Not to the Giv'ah.
Begam Sha'ul halach le'beto Giv'ata.
Oh, okay. So he went to Givat Sha'ul.
So Givat Sha'ul is the same place.
It was probably called Givat Sha'ul after.
After the fact, because he lived there, yeah.
But is that in... I mean, think about it. Where was Sha'ul? What tribe was he from?
He said Binyamin.
Binyamin, right? And where is Binyamin?
It's with Yehuda.
It's with Yehuda and the Beit HaMikdash area there. So
it could be Yerushalayim area.
Yeah, it must be Yerushalayim.
So that Givat Sha'ul we have today is probably the same place.
I don't know if it's the same exact place, but it's the same area. Close. Meaning it wouldn't be far-fetched to assume that. I don't know geography. Like, I don't know Tanakhic geography so well. Michael Hattin is very good at it. He's the writer for Magid. He publishes, he writes so nicely on geography. But it would make sense. Because he's in Binyamin. Binyamin is the territory of the Beit HaMikdash. It's modern day Yerushalayim.
It's all Yerushalayim, yeah.
So all Yerushalayim should contain cities of Binyamin.
Okay, good.
So they come to Givat Sha'ul and they speak in the ears of the people. And all the people, they raise their voices and they start crying. And Sha'ul was roaming around with his flock with his cattle in the field.
Why is he still a shepherd?
What?
Why is he still a shepherd?
It shows you like where he was.
Yeah.
I'm a king. So what? What does that mean?
Good
it's like George that. Washington was also still running a business when he was president of the United States. They used to do that. Nowadays, it's a full-time job. Back then, because they weren't power hungry, it's not a full-time job.
Yeah.
Even today, you think Biden spends more than 1 hour making decisions every day? It's not a full-time job.
It should be.
Delegate.
Just,
So Shaul comes, he's with his cattle, and he said, why is everybody crying? So they tell him the matter of the people of Yavesh. Then the spirit of God comes upon Shaul when he hears these things, and he gets very angry. He takes a couple of cattle, he cuts it up, he sends it in all of the areas of Israel in the hands of the messenger, saying, whoever does not come after Shaul and Shimuel, this we will do to his cattle. Meaning, if you don't come and help us in this war, we're going to cut your cattle up afterwards. You'll, threaten. And the people became very scared the fear of God fell upon them, and they came out as one man. And he counted them in Bezek, and they amounted to 300,000, and Yehuda came out to 30,000, so they had 330,000 warriors came to fight against Nachash HaAmoni. ויאמרו למלאכים הבאים, כה תאמרו לאיש יבש גלעד, מחר תהיה לכם תשועה כחום השמש. And they said to the people, to the messengers, say to the people of יבש גלעד, tomorrow you will have salvation as the sun rises. ויבוא המלאכים ויגידו לאנשי יבש וישמחו. And they said this to the people of יבש, and they became very happy. ויאמרו אנשי יבש, מחר נצא עליכם, ועשיתם לנו ככל הטוב ביניכם. In the meantime, the people of יבש, they say to הנחש המוני, tomorrow we will come out to you and we will do exactly as you please. Now, there are interesting things. There's one story which this is supposed to remind us of, which is the story of Pilegesh Begibah.
Uh-huh.
Because he cuts up the thing. Remember the Levi cut up his wife. And there's also the people of Yavesh Gilad played a very important role in the story of Pilegesh Begibah. So Bezer Hashem Monday we're going to review the story of Pilegesh Begibah and see why this is a tikkun for that story. Baruch Adonai Olam.
Amen.
Amen.